Welcome to Brain Ignition Radio. Here I share with you all of the knowledge and resources I've gained as it relates to nutrition, exercise, and brain health. By sharing these interesting case studies, in-depth discussions, and research, I hope that we can learn together and improve our current health and the health of future generations. I'm your host, Chet Binning, and I thank you for tuning in. Before we jump into today's episode, I wanted to let you know my guest was on Zoom via a phone call. So the audio wasn't perfect, but we did clean it up and I think it's pretty good now. However, once you start listening to my guest story, I guarantee you're not going to want to turn it off. So please just bear with us here and you will really enjoy this episode. Welcome, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Today on Brain Ignition Radio, we have our first official guest, actually. So today we have Cole Learn. He owns Learn Fit Strength and Conditioning in Saugeen Shores. He's also a competitive CrossFit athlete, actually training under the guidance of my good friend, Jesse Sheriff, who owns Sheriff Academy. And I've also had the pleasure of working with Cole, helping him with his nutrition for, I think over a year now. And Cole has it's an incredible personal story, which we're going to get into in a few minutes here. And I'm really grateful that he's willing to come on here and share this with you guys, because I think you guys are really going to dig it. But Cole, let's start things off with a couple icebreakers before we get into things. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well, man. How are you?
Good, thank you. So when you're eating the roughly 4,000 calories plus a day that I have you eating, are you a sweet or a salty guy? What's one of your go-to snacks to get those calories in?
Oh, man. It's tough. I kind of switch between the two. I definitely am a little bit more salty than sweet, though.
Yep. What's your favorite movement in the gym, if you had to pick one? I know it's tough.
That is a tough question, but I would probably go with toes to bar.
Ah, okay. Interesting one there.
Yeah.
Well, you do have some pretty ridiculous core strength, so I guess that's a good pick. And then I know this is a tough question just based on my own dog, but what's the funniest thing that your dogs do?
Yeah, we have two. They're awesome dogs, and they definitely have a lot of personality. I would say the funniest thing is Rogue is basically a human. He sleeps like a human, he sits like a human, and he wants to be a human. So it's pretty funny.
Is Rogue the one that wears the sleeping mask?
They actually both wear the sleeping mask. But yeah, Rogue was the one that started with it, and Bella's just been getting into it recently. So
that's awesome. I'm going to definitely have to try that with Benson, see what he thinks.
They love it, man.
Yeah, that's hilarious. All right. So I want to kick things off today with you telling us a little bit more about your background, your personal story. So, and actually you shared a little bit of this today on social media. Ironically, today is a pretty special date for you. So can you just tell us more about this story, Cole?
For sure. And it's kind of funny that we picked this day. We picked it a while back, and I had no idea that it was actually my 5-year sobriety day. So it worked out pretty well. Yeah, I'll go into a little bit more detail in just a second. It's funny, though. I used to have a really hard time talking about this. In fact, in my first year, I didn't want anybody to know. I was really embarrassed and kind of ashamed. But now, as the years have gone on, it's been a lot easier to talk about, and I've found a lot of positives, a lot of people reaching out, and it's helped a lot of people. So I love any opportunity that I can get to come on and kind of share it. My story starts, I was born in St. Catharines, but I was raised in Guelph. And growing up, I always had a very awesome childhood, a very supportive family. And I was always very athletic and did very well in school. But moving into my university days, I kind of got mixed up with the wrong crowd and got introduced to some drugs that most kids should never be involved with. It was Oxycontin and Percocets. And it kind of started off as just recreational use, kind of after a long day, you know, we would take something and kind of play some video games or whatever. I kind of kept it at bay for the first year or so. Throughout my first year of university, it was okay. And then when I took the summer off, it kind of just spiraled worse and worse. And I ended up acquiring a large sum of money from my father when he passed away. And that made it spiral even more. I think that the emotions of my father passing away plus this large sum of money kind of drove me into a bigger spiral. And I ended up quitting football. I was playing football at University of Windsor and studying criminology. I quit all of that together. I just said, I'm not going back. I didn't end up going back. And basically, that's when it took hold of my life. I said that I wouldn't let it get to the point where it would control me. I always thought that I had control over it. And until the money ran out, when I ran out of money, that was when I really started to realize that, shit, I have no control over this. And it really grasped me then. I ended up moving out to Edmonton to go do some work out there. I was working as a glazer for an apprenticeship. And I was making good money out there, having fun. But within about 6 months of being out there, I had lost my job. I just was not responsible. I wasn't showing up for work. I was leaving the job site. And lost my job. I ended up losing my housing and I ended up living on the streets. I lived on the streets of Edmonton for, I think it was about a year, maybe a little bit longer, maybe a little bit shorter. I'm not exactly sure, but that's when I got into heroin and started IV use. So I was injecting heroin regularly. It was a tough time in my life. It was very, very tough. I saw life from a completely different side of things. It wasn't fun. I woke up every single day wishing it would be over or wishing my life was over. I didn't know how I was going to get out. Every single day, was I going to get my next drugs? So it kind of turned into stealing, manipulating, lying, whatever I could do to kind of find that next use. I will say, though, even at like the lowest of the lows, living on the street, doing all that, there was always something deep down inside me that I don't know if it was new I was going to get clean, but I knew that this was not the way it was going to end for me. I had a little fire still burning in me and I always wanted to get clean. It's just very tough. When you have no resources and you're out on the streets, it's very tough. Addiction places are just run rampant. It's very hard to get into these kind of places. It takes months and months and it's not just as easy as picking up the phone, making that call. You really have to work towards it. So I ended up going to jail a couple of times for different types of smaller level crimes, nothing serious or anything. But I was in jail a couple times and those were definitely those low points where you kind of thought to yourself, like, listen, Paul, I got to really do something here. This is not the way that your life's supposed to be. So I was out in Edmonton probably just over a year. I ended up coming back to Ontario and living with my mom for a little bit and getting into a rehab center. I had tried rehab before. I had done a couple different rehabs throughout my kind of using, but it never kind of clicked for me. And so this next rehab that I went to was actually in Owen Sound, Ontario, just about 30 minutes outside of where my gym is now. And it was a great experience. It was a recovery house where I spent 4 or 5 months there. And it was kind of based on like reintegrating back into society. So it wasn't a super intensive place, but it was just enough for me where I could do my classes, I could do my meetings, but I could also go to the gym. I could also work a job. I could also learn how to get reintegrated back into society, which was a great experience. It worked out really well for me. I spent 5 months there before kind of, I think I worked at Sport Check when I left there. Just worked a little side-end job for about a year or two just to kind of get my feet under myself before I could really see what I wanted to do. Just to kind of reverse a little bit, it's crazy when I say I injected heroin. When I tell people that, it's like, oh, I would never do that. I would never, ever do that. Well, yeah, I told myself that too. I told myself that I would never do that, but you don't just wake up one day saying, I want to do that. That's just where the progression of the disease leads. And I think that's what's so important is a lot of us stereotype addicts as just low lives that just don't want anything for themselves or whatever it may be. But addiction, in my eyes, does not have a face. It can happen to anybody. And it's definitely something that we need to take a little bit more seriously. And I think we need to put a little bit more resources into. And which is why I try to share my story whenever I can. Try to go to meetings and share my story. I haven't been doing that as much as I should be today. But I was excited when you asked me to come on here and kind of talk a little bit more. Anyways, going back into after rehab, I started personal training some people on the side, and I knew I had a very big passion for fitness, but I wasn't too sure of what I wanted to do with it. And it kind of got to the point where I couldn't see myself doing anything else. I had gone to school for criminology. I never finished my degree there, but I always wanted to get into something with fitness. And it ended up, a friend of mine asked me if I wanted to move out to Port Elgin and work for him and do some personal training under him and kind of build up my portfolio there. And that's what I ended up doing. And it was great. Worked there for a couple of years. And then I ended up moving out and opening up my own gym. And that's been about 2 years now. And it's been pretty successful. And we'll kind of touch on that a little bit more as you ask some more questions. So yeah, that's my story. I'm not too sure if I touched on everything. If you have any more questions, just let me know and I can definitely answer them for you.
If we had more time, I think I have about 1,000 more questions, but I'll just try and pick the ones that kind of the top of my mind for now. But I mean, first and foremost, like, congratulations, Cole, on the 5 years. And like, thank you very much for sharing that with us. I think it's one of the coolest things to me is that, well, I mean, you're willing to share it, right? I think this is maybe a problem nowadays with social media and everything is that people always, or sorry, they only want to show kind of like the flashy stuff, right? They want to show what looks best from the outside looking in. And I think this is an incredible example of, I mean, it's, yeah, we can definitely use social media and things like this for good. Like, you sharing that on there is incredible. I think it takes a lot of courage. And so kudos to you, man. And like, I think everyone would agree in us saying that, like, if even just one single person that might be struggling either sees that and reads that, or maybe comes across this and listens to it and it helps them, well then, man, I think it's worth it. I mean, there's so many other things in there. I think the other thing is what you were doing before that, right? I mean, competitive athlete in university. And that's, I mean, it's just, so it's such an incredible story to hear, because again, like, that, it just clearly shows us it can happen to anyone. You nailed it on the head. Like, there's definitely a problem with stereotypes. We maybe see this and just kind of quickly label people without thinking about it, right? Well, you know, that's their fault, like, that would never happen to me, and so on and so forth. And this just shows us, well, no, like, it's, you know, it can happen to anyone, doesn't matter. As you said, addiction, it is an illness. And I mean, this is something that I'm also very interested in as well, just kind of based on like what's going on in the brain and so on. And anyways, that kind of leads me to my first question is, so you mentioned that you started training and exercising when you were in this house in Owen Sound, right? So I'm just curious, like, what role do you think that played, and what role does it continue to play in just recovering and then now becoming who you are?
It's everything, man. It's honestly everything. That was one of the main reasons that I picked that place to go to, because I could work out and go to the gym. They actually gave you a YMCA membership and you can just walk over at any time of the day and use it. I believe that fitness saved my life. If I did not have that outlet to go to, I don't believe I would have made it this far. The counselors at the rehab center always kind of nudged at me, kind of insinuating that I was going too much to the gym. But I didn't see that as an issue. I saw that as a positive. My mindset was 100 times better every single time I walked out of that building. I remember it vividly, like, just walking in, maybe not being too positive about where my future was going, and then walking out of that door and just being just lit up and just very excited about what was next. So I think it was played a huge part, and it still does today.
Yeah, I love that. And I think one of my kind of life's missions is to make exercise and fitness more of a priority and more accessible for, I mean, just anyone going through any type of mental illness. So I think it's amazing that you found it and continue to use it. So do you still, do you still think about this sometimes during your training? Like, do you think it fuels you? So I actually heard it was Michael Jordan's trainer kind of talk a little bit about this recently. Just with many of his athletes that he's worked with, he talks about coaching his athletes to tap into their dark side, he calls it. And the dark side might be different for everyone, right? Maybe every athlete has a different type. Some people, they can go, deeper than others for sure, but he coaches individuals on, not fearing this, but just like kind of owning it and acknowledging it, and then use that to kind of fuel the fire. So do you think about this? Do you tap into this? Is there things running through your mind when training, maybe saying, I've had harder than this before?
Oh, for sure, man. It's funny how you can kind of tap in and where your mind kind of goes to when you're in those tough workouts and whatnot. 100%. I kind of like it's not every training session, but sometimes when I'm having those tough training sessions, I kind of think back to what I kind of went through and how difficult it was and how heavy my body felt every day just to kind of get up and move. And when those tough workouts come in and your mind is kind of telling you, you know what, let's pull back a little bit. I find those are the kind of times where I kind of tap into those external motivation sources that I need and just to kind of give that extra little drive and extra little push to kind of make it hurt a little bit more. So
Awesome.
yeah, definitely, man. I think it's definitely helped me strengthen my mindset towards these types of things.
Awesome. So in a couple minutes, probably we'll transition more into the kind of your current training goals and nutrition and whatnot. But before we get there, I'm also curious, like I'm sure this is also factored into your coaching, right? Dealing with either group classes or teams or one-on-one training. In my opinion, I mean, coaching in general, but especially coaching in kind of fitness is, I mean, it's kind of like 50-50, right? Like 50% is kind of just the hard knowledge. So like what you know about strength and conditioning and technique and all that. And then, I mean, probably the other 50% is just like understanding the individual or the team or the group and knowing what makes them tick. So I'm also curious to hear like how has this maybe factored into your coaching nowadays and understanding people and motivating them?
Sure, man. Yeah. So it's funny. Like I couldn't agree more. I think coaching is, it's like, you really need to understand that person and where they're at that time and place. Everybody's going to come in. Maybe some people have had a long day, some people have had a good day. So you got to kind of approach each situation differently. When recovering from addiction, I went through the 12 steps. And it kind of like what those are designed to do is basically teach you how to live again. I learned going through those and just give somebody else like exactly what I learned because it's made me such a better person at life. It's like I never used to be able to admit when I was wrong. And now if I'm wrong, I have no problem admitting that and apologizing. And I feel like it could really benefit other people. So I don't kind of push that on people in class, but it's definitely made me more aware of these situations and like how to approach that each situation with each person and what they may be going through.
Yeah, awesome. So we'll transition a little bit now to some nutrition and training things. So as I said in the beginning, I've been working with Cole and his nutrition for a while now. And I will say without a doubt, Cole, like you are one of the easiest clients in that. I mean, you just do what I tell you, right? So I mean, I've told Cole to eat like cod liver, eggshells, liver, I don't know,
Oh,
just
that's
and I have a rationale for all of them. Like I'm not playing tricks on them. Like, and if anyone has questions about those, we can maybe talk about them after. But yeah, just super dedicated guy. And just kind of is willing to learn and just apply whatever he needs to be better. So as I said, like usually eating, over 4,000 calories a day. Right now we have one day per week where he's eating 700 grams of carbs in that day. And this is to support his just incredible training volume. So I'm curious, like What's the biggest challenge with eating this much food? And just to our listeners, real quick here, I think people forget that eating a lot of food is challenging. Like we kind of have this habit where we hear this and think, oh, well, that must be nice, right? Must be nice. That person can kind of eat whatever they want. Well, I would strongly argue against this. Like eating this much food, high quality food, is freaking tough. And when you have you kind of have that, I don't know, I call it like the classic skinny kid body, right? Where you have to eat a ton to maintain and put on good weight. And so those people, I mean, I bet that you would sometimes be willing to trade with someone who can easily put on that mass, right? So I just like to highlight this because I think everyone kind of has their own struggle. And yeah, so just kind of before we think, must be nice. Well, he's training his ass off and it's not easy eating this much food. So yeah, I'm curious what the biggest challenges are with eating that much and keeping up with it.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some challenges that go along with it, and I couldn't agree more about that. It's hard to eat this much. Like, I find myself sometimes like over my meal, and I just do not want to eat it, but I know that I have to. And it's like a full-time job. Like, as soon as I finish that meal, I need to think about my next meal, and because it's not too long after that that I'll be eating again. And now that, we're getting into the nice weather, I live right by the beach, all my friends go down to the beach. It's not so easy as just kind of, okay, I'll grab an RX bar and that should be good for the day. No, it's I'm bringing chicken, I'm bringing rice, I'm bringing steaks to the beach. Like, it's just like, it's hard to eat on the beach, and you just want to go enjoy it, but you got to go and get the meal in before you can. So I would say that's kind of the most difficult part, is kind of like planning. And even for today, we're kind of on a road trip to grab some stuff from Toronto for the gym, and I needed to plan out all these meals and bring all this Tupperware and stuff, just in order to keep my calories up. So I would say the two challenges are kind of just, number one is just eating the food. Like, a lot of the times you're just kind of stuffing it down when you don't really feel like eating it. And then number two is just planning and making sure that you have that kind of food around and available to you. And good high quality food. I mean, not just kind of go and grab a burger from McDonald's or whatever.
Yeah, and I think that's the key there. Like, not that, I mean, obviously that's going to happen sometimes. And Cole and I have talked about this before. It's not always going to be perfect, but the majority of it is whole foods. And like, I mean, anyone can go to Pizza Hut every day and slam down 2,000 calories in a single sitting, right? That's pretty easy to do. It's harder to fill up on these whole foods because, as I've talked about before, I feel that they are more satiating. They fill us up more, keep us full for longer. So yeah, I think it's definitely harder to eat more of these. Like since we started working together, Cole, like some of your goals were to like put on some lean mass. We talked a lot about just like quality of food and so on. Like, what do you feel are some of the biggest changes we've made that have had the biggest impact?
I think number one is driving more fats into my diet was huge. I found I didn't have many fats in my diet before we kind of started working together, and that as well just kind of increased my calories. And I noticed a huge difference in my joints. I felt a lot better training. I wasn't so achy, and I got strong as hell. As soon as we started, I remember increasing my PRs by like 20 to 30 pounds on every lift. And we put on about, I think it was like 12 or 13 pounds within the first couple months of working together. I think my body was just so depleted that it was just ready to kind of put on some mass, but I just wasn't giving it what it needed.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I love working with the hard gainers like you. I don't know, I just find it kind of like an interesting little experiment, I guess, because it's harder to put on the mass and then we have to find things we do. But yeah, I do find that like 9 times out of 10, it's usually a lack of the healthy fats, like the olive oils, the nuts and seeds, the fish, sometimes the fattier cuts of meat, like the ribeye, the avocados, the eggs, and so on and so forth. Especially in, as you know, especially in competitive athletics and especially in CrossFit, like everyone always pushes just, carbs, 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 which absolutely those are critical. But I think people often just push the fats to the side. And I see that as, I see the fats as, if you want to be doing this for 5-10 years, which is often the amount of time it takes to be good, well, then you better be getting those fats in now, or else you're just going to break down. You might not notice it right away that first day, but over time, this is a long-term strategy. So yeah, it's interesting you highlight that.
I remember when you started to change my breakfasts from, like, I used to just like wake up and smash like a lot of carbs, like, and I remember you changing them to those higher fats. It was a world of difference, man, not only for my energy levels, just for my mental clarity in the morning. And it's like, since you've done that to me, I've suggested it to some of the members at my gym, and they've transitioned more into that as well. And nice. I've heard nothing but positive results. So awesome. Yeah, that was definitely a huge difference when we kind of started working together with the healthy fat intake.
Yeah. It's interesting that things that usually work for high level athletes such as yourself also work for just quote unquote average Joes who want to be active, but still be healthy. And that one's interesting too, like with the lower carbohydrates at breakfast, because everyone thinks that you need that enormous insulin spike from all the carbohydrates before a session to feel good. And you will definitely feel good when you do that, but the more you do that, the crappier you're going to feel over time. And as you said, you'll just kind of learn that it's not necessary to get that that increase in energy and drive and focus and everything. So I'm curious to hear some of your kind of how you've navigated the lockdown when it comes to owning a gym, because obviously it's been, I mean, gyms as much as anyone have just been absolutely challenged and kind of pushed to the brink with this lockdown, especially here in Ontario. So to our listeners who maybe aren't in Ontario and aren't familiar with this, and Cole, you can probably explain this better than I as a gym owner, but even still right now, so this is May, end of May, you guys will probably hear this June, gyms are probably not going to be open now until even, I don't know, it sounds like end of July, early August. Maybe we'll get to some outdoor classes before that, maybe, but still, I mean, it's been a long time for the majority of the past year plus. They've been closed, and owners have really had to pivot and make some huge changes. So, yeah, I'm interested to hear kind of how you've navigated that.
Yeah, it's been tough, man. You know, this year alone, and we're heading into June now, and we've only really been open for 5 or 6 weeks of this year, for the entire year. So that's just crazy to think about. But navigating, I mean, I feel like through the first couple lockdowns, like when this was like something big almost just over a year ago now, I feel like people understood, and we kind of didn't know what was going on in the world. So there was like a little bit more narrative towards saying that these lockdowns were appropriate. And I feel like we definitely had a bigger following then at my gym. People were involved. People were getting into workouts. We were happy. It was fun. We were running all different types of things throughout the first lockdown. We were running scavenger hunts. We did this little thing for Easter, which was like an egg hunt. People had to put an egg on people's front porch with a workout in it. They had to do the workout and then submit it, and they would be entered into a draw and stuff. And it just kept people involved. And then the January lockdown came, and I saw a lot of people fall off. And then we went back into the gym, and now we're into another lockdown, and even more people are falling off. In my Zoom classes through the first lockdown, we probably had 10 people at each class at least. Now we're lucky if we get 2 or 3 people. And I've seen what it's been doing to people, and it's so tough as a gym owner who really got into the business because I want to help other people. And that's what my main goal is. And to see all of these people falling off, coming back heavier, coming back depressed, it's tough, man. And I've been trying to stay positive about the whole situation, and I'm doing my best. I feel like I need to kind of be a leader in this type of situation. But when there's just, I just feel like we're not following what science is telling us. We're not following what we kind of know about this about this illness now. So it's been hard for myself as well as kind of coming up with new stuff to keep people motivated. And yeah, so I mean, hoping for the best June 14th, we can hope to start some outdoor workouts. But like you said, like we're not looking at the inside of a gym until at least kind of end of July, maybe beginning of August.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think, isn't it, that we aren't even allowed to have group classes outside. It just blows my mind, especially with all the research that's come out now. And I think, I mean, not to go too far down the rabbit hole, but I just think, like, what kind of message even are we sending to future generations, showing people that basically we don't care about exercise, we don't care about fitness, this isn't important for health, this is being shut down, it's going to be the last thing to reopen because it's not important. And I just think, like, there's so many things wrong with that. I mean, especially based on our conversation at the start of this podcast, but for, you know, a thousand other reasons. And yeah, like you said, I mean, I just hope that gyms can make it through this. And I hope that we are actually able to open up sooner than later. But I, like many, I'm just kind of out of patience, right? As you said at the start, it was fine. It was something new. We didn't know a lot about it. It's better to be cautious than to take a risk. And so that was fine. But now that there's just so much data to go against what they're doing. And yeah, I mean, what else do you say about it, right? And like I said, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but it is frustrating. So what then would you say is, maybe there's many, but is there like a common struggle that you hear from members throughout this lockdown, or is there many different ones, or how are people kind of coping with it?
Yeah, I kind of feel like a lot of people, the most common one is just a lack of motivation overall, lack of uncertainty and accountability. A lot of people come to the gym. Yes, a lot of people come for the coaching and whatnot, but a lot of people come for the social aspect of it as well, right? And accountability, right? You come to class, okay, this is what we're going to do, and you're going to do it with 10 other people beside you all pushing themselves. You get to talk with people, you get to enjoy yourself, you get to laugh, smile, all kinds of that, right? And I think that's so important towards just overall mental health and physical health in general, that it's a huge, huge thing that we've missed out on for the last year now, even more than a year. And even more so in the children. I got a lot of friends that have young children, and I know it's just been absolutely horrendous for them, not even being able to go to a skate park or anything like that, right? You got soccer fields that are taped with caution tape and whatnot. Yeah. So it's just kind of been a fearful environment that's kind of been pushed on us. So it's been tough, but I definitely feel like the lack of accountability has been the number one.
Yeah, for people who maybe don't know or understand how CrossFit group classes work, I mean, honestly, the vibe is it's pretty similar to a sports team or perhaps other group fitness classes. But like you said, it's showing up and having other people there who are ready to work hard and do the same thing as you're doing. And I mean, I can't tell you, not that I do a lot of group class nowadays, but when I did, I can't tell you the amount of times when I had no desire to work out. I didn't want to go to the gym, but as soon as you walk in the door, it's like, okay, it's go time. Like, my buddies are here. These guys are here. They're pushing hard. They don't care. So I better do the same. And then by the end of it, you just love it. And you're so happy you went. And you know, there's even a similar vibe with working out on your own, but being in the gym and having all these other people around you working hard, pushing themselves, doing the same thing. So that's another thing. That's a thing that I miss a ton, because even though I usually work out on my own, I mean, I've missed that. There's many days where I don't want to go out into the garage, especially when it was like minus 25 in February. That gym, having that community around you is so cool, because you walk in the door and then there's no doubt in your mind. And I think it's a terrible thing for people to be missing out on. Especially kids and children, I think they've been maybe hit the hardest, and it's really sad to think about what's going on with them. But you know, I guess kind of the hope in all of this is that as we hopefully open things back up, I think that exercise and fitness and gyms are still going to play an enormous role. And I think that we can still kind of come in and just be kind of be a support system for so many people and maybe help them get back on track. So I guess maybe that's a little bit of a consolation that we can hope for. So Cole, can you give us some contact information, just maybe social media, maybe website where people can find you if they're interested in your gym contact information?
Yeah, our website is www.learnfitgym.com. And my personal social media is just at Cole Learn, the same thing on Facebook there.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, man, for coming on. Really appreciate you sharing some of your story and all the other awesome things you're doing with the gym and coaching. Like I said, I know that this is going to help at least one person, probably more. But again, just thank you very much for speaking about this and continuing to do so, because I think this is going to be huge as we continue to help more people. So thank you again for coming on.
Hey, it's my pleasure, man. Thank you for having me.